You know what? Yeah, you could clap. You clap for the house of the Lord. Amen. We are so blessed to be here today. Christmas is such an interesting, it's an amazing time of year. We are out on the road last night. We had to go down below Mechanicsburg for a family function. And on the way back, we passed the Walmart, and the parking lot was packed. And somebody in the car commented that as all the husbands looking for the last minute Christmas gifts of an iron or who knows, something that the wife really didn't want. So it's interesting, but it's just a fascinating. So I wanted to start off with a couple things here to really just hopefully brightens your day. I trust you're just so happy today, happy not only to be in the house of the Lord, but happy to commemorate the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to earth, right? God's gift to mankind. I know we often think of the gifts that the wise men brought, the reason for giving, but really the reason for giving in this season is God's gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the greatest gift of all. So hope you'll enjoy. I just have a couple of them. A couple were Christmas shopping. The shopping center was packed, and as the wife walked through one of the malls, she was surprised when she looked around to find that her husband was nowhere to be seen. She was quite upset because they had a lot to do, and she'd become so worried that she called him on her mobile phone and asked him where he was. In a quiet voice, he said, "Do you remember the jewelers we went to about five years ago when you fell in love with that diamond necklace that we couldn't afford?" The wife was choked up and started to cry and said, "Yes, I do remember that shop." He replied, "Well, I'm in the sporting goods store right across the street from there." Husbands, don't let that be you. Here's a shorter one. "I just saved a ton of money on my Christmas shopping by expressing my political views on Facebook." All right, you got to think about that for a minute, right? Here's the last one. This is probably the wife that I just spoke about. "I like it when my wife makes Christmas shopping easy. This year, she said she wants a gun, duct tape, some rope, and a large, sturdy bag. I can't wait to see what she gets me." Husbands, don't let that be you. We're blessed to have all of you in the house of the Lord today. We're so glad we've come today to worship. Amen? And Christmas is not only a season of amazement and surprise, it's a season of joy, right? What the angels say, "We bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the King." Amen. Sing with us. And as you stand, sing with us today. I'll give you a little bit of a heads up. You'll be standing and sitting more than we often do in our typical service, but you'll just bear with us. We'll give you the cue when it's time to stand, time to sit. I hope you enjoy this Christmas fusion service together. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Amen. Come on. Joy to the world. Come on, let's celebrate a little bit. Hallelujah.
Before you said
Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Please, would you please be seated? Just for a moment, we'll have you back up momentarily as we sing another song soon. But I want to just, as we go through this service today, we really trying to put together a comprehensive understanding of what took place on that first, what we now call the first Christmas of the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to this planet. Amen. We've entitled it Commoners, Kings, and the Christ Child. It is astounding how this event of 2,000 years ago continues to draw the attention of billions of people around the planet. This very special season we call Christmas evokes thoughts of wonder, suspense, and the miraculous. To see how the God of the universe chose to reveal his salvation plan for humanity by becoming one of us in the form of a baby boy, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. The story draws in real historical characters who are imitated annually in Christmas plays and pageants around the world. Kingly figures such as Caesar Augustus, Herod, and Magi from the East, and commoners like Mary, Joseph, and the lowly shepherds working the night shift in the fields outside of Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Our story begins in Israel with two commoners, Mary, a very young virgin, and her soon-to-be husband, a carpenter named Joseph. They were living in the northland of Israel in the region called Galilee, in a small, insignificant village called Nazareth. Mary would receive a visit from the archangel Gabriel. He assures her that she has found favor with the God Most High. Mary was then given the offer to conceive, carry, and bear the Son of God, the conception in her womb to take place, not by the will of man, but of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Shelby.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of a house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But now when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of his greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end."
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Please stand. That was to consider that announcement to Mary. She was given part of the information. Isn't that how God works sometimes? We get this calling on our hearts, and we know something, but we don't know all the details. And I think this next song beautifully lays out some of the things that Mary would experience on that day. She didn't know these things. The song is entitled, "Mary, Did You Know?" Would you sing with us today?
Sight to the blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praise.
Did you know? Wow. Please be seated. Given this angelic announcement, Mary would have understandably been troubled. Knowing that agreeing to conceive a child in such a way and becoming pregnant out of wedlock would open her to scorn and suspicion, not only by her intended husband Joseph, but by her family, friends, and the community at large. Frankly, is it any wonder why 9 months later, there would be no room for her at the inn in Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem for this young and by then very pregnant, travel-weary teenager and her husband-to-be. You see, one of the things that Mary didn't know upon accepting this proposition was that in her 9th month of pregnancy, she and Joseph would be forced to travel some 80 miles, likely on foot, to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem to comply with the Roman census. Once there, the couple would have to settle for birthing her firstborn child in an animal stall in a stable in Bethlehem, just outside of Jerusalem, likely the very place used for birthing lambs to be sacrificed at the annual Passover festival in the nearby Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Indeed, the favor of God at times is a two-edged sword. Honor and blessings, as well as heartache and difficulty, all wrapped up in the same heavenly package. Despite all of this, Mary, and later Joseph, would respond to God's plan by simply saying, "Yes, let it be done as you have said."
Luke 2:1-7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And please stand with us as we sing together. Other commoners in our story include the Bethlehem shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks by night to protect them from thieves, wolves, and other destroyers. It was to these lowly laborers that God chose to first publicly announce the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah. Born not from far from where these shepherds were faithfully performing their duties, a host of angels appeared to them, telling them they would find the newborn babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a feeding stall, possibly the very same stall where the sheep out in the fields that night had been birthed even months before. The shepherds immediately went and found the baby exactly as the angels had said. Then they went away rejoicing, telling all those they encountered about the amazing events of this night and about this child whom the angels said was the Savior, the Messiah, Christ, the Lord. Katie.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Luke 2:8-20.
Please stand as we sing that amazing Christmas carol, "O Come All Ye Faithful."
Come and behold.
Moving on from the commoners, we now meet the kings of the Christmas story, beginning with the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. Frankly, the emperor in his warm palace hundreds of miles away in Rome would be completely unaware that his edict to require a census throughout his kingdom would require Mary and Joseph to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem and ultimately bear the Messiah there. In so doing, Caesar Augustus unwittingly became instrumental in this Christmas story by helping fulfill the words of the prophet Micah, who had written 700 years earlier when he predicted that Christ the Messiah would indeed be born, not in Nazareth or in Jerusalem or anywhere else, but in Bethlehem. Other royalty in the story of stories include Magi traveling from the Parthian kingdom in the east, having seen the supernatural appearance of a light in the heavens. They arrived at Herod's palace in the capital city of Jerusalem, seeking to find the one who had been born king of the Jews. I mean, where else would they expect to find the nation's king to be born except within the royal palace in the nation's capital city? They would be greeted there by the jealous and wicked King Herod. He would redirect the Magi to the nearby hamlet of Bethlehem, where the prophet Micah had predicted the Messiah was to be born. Too indifferent to be bothered to go himself, King Herod's wicked scheme was to have the Magi find the Christ child and then report back to him the child's location, so he in turn could murder this would-be rival to his family dynasty. However, after finding the baby Jesus, worshiping him, and presenting him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the Magi were warned by God in a dream about Herod's wicked scheme and returned home from Bethlehem by a different route. Rod?
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, as was all of Jerusalem. And when he gathered all of his chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired from them where the Christ child was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, and the Lord of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which had been seen in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in the dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country in another way."
Thank you. And finally, the pivotal character in the Christmas story, the one with no lines to quote in any Christmas play, it's baby Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. To an outsider, the arrival place and time of this child may seem insignificant, almost happenstance. But to God, that moment came about in the exact fullness of time. Jesus would be born in a filthy stable because there was no room for the fledgling family in the guest house. A stable, a manger, swaddling clothes. Truly, this was no nativity scene. At least not the likes of those commonly portrayed on today's beautiful Christmas cards. However, to God, this was the appointed place and time, and these the appointed parents. The pivotal birth event of all human history set in motion in the Garden of Eden thousands of years earlier when God informed Satan that the seed of the woman would one day destroy him and his power. This was Emmanuel, God with us, who would lay aside his heavenly privileges to be born in the likeness of man in a Bethlehem stable. It has been well said, Jesus could not redeem us until he became like us, and so that's what he did. I have a couple more things to read here as I close this reading out today, but a word came to me this week, and I want to give it to you. I want to share it with you. The word is unprecedented. Unprecedented. Even the virgin birth is mocked by some of the quote-unquote biblical scholars as not believing, but within this church, we believe. You can see even the centerpiece here of this holiday season, which actually started in the revival season that we're believing is taking place. We believe. We believe. Amen. We believe in this virgin birth of God coming to be born of a woman, born of a virgin, born under the law to redeem those of us who are under the law. It's unprecedented. Mankind can't grasp the fact that a virgin would give birth to a son by the seed of the Holy Spirit, but that's God's plan for mankind. That's how the God of the universe became embedded in a woman's flesh, and in her womb, she would conceive the Son of God, Jesus, who would live and die, and because he was sinless, he would raise again. Amen? The grave could not contain him, and death could not hold him. He did not deserve to die, so God gave him life back. And because he lives, therefore, we may live. It's unprecedented. Such a great season here in the house today. We have Mike and Liz Schell with Theo. I think they're all here today. We're so blessed to have all of you. So you were married here just within the last couple of years, and now they've been blessed with baby boy Theo, which we think determines love by God. Amen. It's so great to have you in the house. It's just a wonderful time and a wonderful season of the year. We celebrated last week the engagement of a lovely new couple, and God is doing something amazing in our lives. With her permission, I'm going to just mention Missy Rainey. Those of you that have been praying here and have been in our prayer meetings, we've held her up in prayer. Patty's sister, just a week and a half ago, it didn't look good at all. She was in Pittsburgh in a hospital to have heart valve replacement, and they weren't sure at all whether they would be able to succeed and whether she could actually live through the surgery. But yet here she is. She has walked through the doors here today. And I believe this is a season that God is doing the unprecedented. And one more thing before I move on in my story. Got an early Christmas present this week. Sherry and I, Wednesday night, we were on our way to Rod and Vi's house to pick up an item and then we're going to come to worship practice. And I got a phone call. It's from an old friend of mine, Ken Hill. Many of you remember him. We've talked about him. And just to give you the brief story, he's allowed me to share the details of this. He retired the same day I did in 2012 from our old career. And he went on to another career, as did we both. But by 2014, he was found to have bladder cancer and actually had to have his bladder removed. And then by 2018, it was early that year, I would say March or April. In fact, they were planning the marriage of their son at their house down there in Muncie, a beautiful, palatial house, just a wonderful place. We've been there many times. They're such wonderful friends of ours. But even as they were planning that marriage, he was to find out he was actually taken to the Cleveland Clinic that spring, and he was told that he had not only had the bladder cancer, but it was now in his liver. In fact, they said to him, had you waited one more week before coming here, we would send you home to die. But we are now sending you home. There is some treatments we can try, but frankly, they weren't optimistic. In fact, and he told us that later. Sherry and I learned this, and then I would say June or July, we reached out to him and just, you know, and contacted him and asked that if we could come down and lay hands and pray with him in his house, and he agreed. Again, we're very good friends. So we went down that summer afternoon, Sherry and he was alone in his house. His wife was at work finishing up her career, almost ready to retire. And faced with this news, Kenny was a guy that, if you remember, a person like John Wayne, he's built like John Wayne. We walked into Kenny Hill's house that day, and he looked more like Don Knotts. He had just emaciated because of what he was going through and beginning the treatments and things like that. And as I say this, I want to underscore this statement that we believe in doctors in this house. We believe God has gifted them. We believe in medicine. We are very careful about that, but we believe in medicine as well. So in any case, but you could tell, Kenny was a broken man, and the news was not good. So we did what we're commanded to do in Scripture. We laid hands on him, we rebuked the cancer, we prayed for him. And then, within a couple months, as he continued on with his treatment, things began to turn around. And by August or September, he and his wife, remember, he called me that fall, and he says, you know, Deb and I were sitting on our porch yesterday, he said, she looked at me and she said, you know that prayer has made a difference for you. Because not only did we pray then, but this house began to pray. And many of you were part of those prayers for Ken Hill. So time goes on. In fact, he came here and gave his testimony. I believe it was that winter, maybe around the 1st of January. He came in and thanked those of you that prayed for him, as we did for Missy in this house many times, praying for the miraculous result. And I remember him standing right about here, and remember he said, according to the doctors, I'm always going to have to undergo treatment for this, but I'm on the mend and I'm doing better, and he thanked this house for the prayers. So fast forward to the phone call we got the other day on our way to Rod and Vi's house that evening, Wednesday evening. He says, hey, Pete, he calls me Pete. He says, I just had my doctor's visit. I said, really? He said, yeah, I had my last doctor's visit. And I didn't know what to expect. He said, the doctor said, I am cancer free. And the doctor said, it's unprecedented. Unprecedented. He was supposed to go through treatments until the day he died, and whenever that would be. He said, I would just call to let you know, I believe without question, the prayers of you and Sherry and your church is the reason this unprecedented event took place. And it's a miracle. It's absolutely a miracle. I said, I'm so touched. I said, do you mind if I share that with people in our church? He said, please do that. Because many of you know him, because you met him here. This is an unprecedented season. I believe it's an unprecedented season in the nation. What we're facing time after time and day after day, we know what we're up against, and we don't really know how we're going to combat this other than just doing our part as good citizens and stepping in where God has called us. But I want to assure you that God is on the move, and that is the environment where God begins to do revivals. And I believe it without question, as I said early on in this series, and we'll pick it up next Sunday, a revival arrival. We believe it's on its way, and is already the groundwork is being laid. God's going to do an amazing work in this nation, in this generation, in our culture, and I believe in the world. And the enemy and darkness is not going to overcome because the light will always overcome. The light will always overcome the darkness. Amen. Praise Jesus. Unprecedented. Jesus could not redeem us until he became like us, and so that's what he did. And because the Son of God chose to put on human flesh, therefore all mankind can now receive eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, by the same method that Mary used to accept the offer given to her, by simply responding yes to his invitation. Yes, Lord, I receive you as my Savior and my Messiah. The Christmas account reminds us of the way in which the heavenly King has become a man to save Adam's fallen race. Divinity had indeed become confined in a man, Emmanuel, God with us. Indeed, this baby in the manger, having all the appearances of a commoner, was in fact a king. Actually, he is the King. The Magi were not seeking the one who would become the King of the Jews, but they were seeking the one who had been born King of the Jews. He was always and will always be a King, the King of Heaven. Please stand with us as we sing.
You tore the night apart and ripped the silent skies in half. Your glory breaking through the dark. And here our worlds collide, divinity and man confined. This great design drawn out for me. Place yourself here into mine. My life is now forever changed. Our eyes be lifted up, our great eternal hope arise. This great design drawn out for me.
Father God, we thank you for sending your Son to the earth. We thank you, God, that you always had a plan. You knew the risk that you were taking, Father God, when you made man. For isn't it recorded for us, I believe it's in Genesis, that God was sorry that he made man. But it wasn't because he didn't love us. That when he made us, that we had the choice to follow him. And do you know, it breaks his heart when man falls away. But he created us to love him. He created us to be loved by him. And I just believe that he wants all of us to know and to realize today that he loves you. us unconditionally. He desires that all men come unto him. Amen. He desires that none should perish. It's written in the Word of God. He desires that none should perish. And so he sent his Son to die for us. Father God has experienced one of the worst pains in so much counseling and even family members that when they lose a child, the pain that a parent feels, the pain that they feel. But Father God sent his Son for that very purpose, that we could be redeemed and spend eternal life with him. Amen. Because of the testimony, I don't normally do this on Christmas Eve, but it's just in my heart that because of the testimony of the healing, you know, that's part of the inheritance when Jesus came, that we would be healed. It was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah that our wounds would be healed in our hearts and our physical bodies would be healed. Amen. So right now I'm just going to ask that if you need a healing in your body, you know, it also says in the Word of God that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when the testimony of what God has done is given, how many of you know that he's ready to do it again? Come on. That's exciting. We have people here that have been through difficult times and they can testify that God has touched their life. We can testify how God has delivered us through difficult times. That's why we have a testimony, because when we share our testimony, it's the spirit of prophecy. And God is ready to do again what he's done before. So if you could just raise your hand if you need a healing. Just knock that voice out of your mind right now that says you've been prayed for a million times before and God hasn't done it. I shut the mouth of the spirit of death in Jesus' mighty name. You know, Jesus came that all of our destinies would be fulfilled. He is the light of the world. He is that hope. He is that thing that we cling to when there's nothing else that we can do. So God, as you see hands raised all across this room that need a healing in their body, physical healing or an emotional healing. Maybe there's something that's happened to you years ago. Maybe it was yesterday. God doesn't want you to carry that anymore. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Come on. So it's in the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, the stage is set for you to touch hearts this morning, and testimony has been given. We have given glory. We have proclaimed that the mighty King is born. We remember for thousands of years, we proclaim it across the earth. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you touch everybody in this room that has their hand raised or their heart raised, believing, God, that you're going to touch them right now and bring healing to their body. In Jesus' name, I curse the root of every disease. Every generational curse I break, and I annul those contracts by the power of the blood of Jesus. And I declare and decree healing in this room, in every body, in every person. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Can you give praise to God? Can you just lift up your voice unto God and praise the Lord for what he's done? Hallelujah. God, we give glory. We give glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God, that you are the light of the world. You are the light in our hearts, God. You know, we've been commanded to believe. Did I not say to you that if you just believe, you would see my glory? It's in the Word of God. It's the only work that we can do unto the Lord is to believe in the one whom he sent. That's what the Word says. John chapter 1, these words are recorded for us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Come on. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. Can you say believe? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Lord, is my prayer this morning, if there is one person or anyone in this room today that has never said, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you died on the cross and shed your blood for me, that I could become a child of God. And by confessing that, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, that light comes into me, that the Spirit of God comes into me and saves me from eternal death, but gives life to me, as the Word of God says. If there's anyone in here today that agreed with me during that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God. There is no greater gift than to be saved from ourselves. Amen. So as we sing this last song, we're going to light the candles. And I would just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come into every mind and every heart as we just prepare to worship you, to observe the day tomorrow, Christmas Day, that the love and light of Christ will become so real to us, even now, even beginning now, that your Spirit would just come and fill our hearts with the light and with the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender.
God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who is the light, and as just read, the darkness cannot overcome it. God, thank you that Jesus is the light of the world, and he has tagged us as believers to become the light of the world as well, when Jesus said, you're the light of the world now. Father, I pray, Father, for this church, for these families, to God, especially for those who just prayed, for those who need a supernatural touch of the Holy Spirit in their bodies, in their minds, in their souls and spirits. I pray, Father, for deliverance, because you are the deliverer. God, I'm asking you for unprecedented miracles that only come from the hand of God. We believe you're doing a mighty work in this day, in this nation. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Feel free to extinguish your candles if you're fearful of burning your hands. We don't want that to happen. We ask you to place them in the box on the way out. We actually do have one more song. It's our dismissal song. God rest ye merry gentlemen. As you exit the church, we'll be playing that. Is there any special instructions? I threw the curve to the food team. I finished quite early today, but we didn't know how long this was going to last, and frankly, it's God's house. It's up to him. Any special instructions besides go out and eat? We're good. Are you getting it? All right, it's amazing. Sorry. So we hope you stay. Join us. The team has done a wonderful job putting something for you out there, and I hope you'll stay in fellowship. And we have a gift for each family, individual or family. Please make sure you get that on your way out, okay? All right, as we close, let's sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and Merry Christmas to all of you.
Thank you.
Christmas to all of you. You are dismissed.